So this morning, we want to talk about what can Jesus do? That's a big subject. You can't possibly cover it all. It's bigger. You could write all across the sky and never be able to fulfill it, be able to tell it all. And I have quite a lot of scriptures and references to scriptures this morning. But we'll go as far as till the Lord says to stop. We want to turn to the book of John. And we want to start in the first chapter and the 45th verse. It says, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. What can Jesus do? He could change your mind. Yes. He can change your mind. Nathanael had a good argument. He said, What are you talking about? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He knew where he was from and knew who he was talking about. And he, can any good thing? He read the law, understood the law. Looking for the Messiah to come. And all, no doubt, under that tree, maybe had been praying about that very thing. We don't know for sure. But there was something that caught, something he had been praying about under that tree. When Jesus said, I saw you there, it convinced him. Yeah. So he had been praying, no doubt, about the Messiah, his coming. Lord, when are you coming? What are we supposed to do until then? How are we supposed to be? What's our next step? But he had an idea in his head. But Jesus can change our minds. He can help us to actually understand when we need convincing. You know what I'm talking about? You have that little question in your mind. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Should I, take this completely out of my life? Or is there a little bit? And you know how it is. You're in those confusing places.
Yes.
Jesus can convince you.
Yes.
He can come in and say one little thing. All he said is, I saw you under the tree. That's all he said. And it opened up all of his understanding.
Yes.
Isn't having you had that happen?
Yes.
You're questioning about something or whatever, and Jesus speaks just a few words, and immediately you know what to do.
Yes.
You've been praying about it and seeking the Lord, and all of a sudden, just a few words, and he convinces you that this is the right thing to do.
Yes.
This thing that I was just wrestling with, this is the right way to go about it. He can do that for us. In chapter 3, we have another example. It says, There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. And you can go on and read the story. But he came to Jesus by night. Now, there's been a lot of conjecture about why at night, because he was hiding. He didn't want the other Jews to see him because he was coming and questioning something that the Jews were saying, don't believe him, don't go there, you don't want anything to do with him. But I kind of look at it in that, you ever been wrestling with something for a while and then it gets nighttime You know what I'm talking about? Does it get worse at night?
Yes.
I mean, no doubt he maybe he could only get alone with him at nighttime. There's a lot of other things involved, but you ever wrestled with something and then all of a sudden it's night? And it's like you go to lay down your head on the bed and there you are, wrestling and wrestling and wrestling with it. And the thing is that Nicodemus came and he was troubled. He said, I know some things. I know that you can't do the things you're doing unless it's God.
Right.
But all these other people are telling me that you're doing it because the devil's giving you power. And I don't believe that. I believe that it has to be from God. And I'm confused and I don't know what to do with this. You ever been confused?
Yeah.
Troubled in the night? Don't know exactly what you can come and get a hold of and what it is you need or anything. And you go to Jesus.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful. Go to Jesus. And you begin to pour out your heart. And you begin to, a lot of times, weep and pray. Well, he came to him and he wasn't necessarily weeping, but he was in trouble. He was troubled in his spirit. He couldn't get away from it. It was bothering him day and night. He was thinking about it. He was hearing this side, that side. He was seeing the miracles. He was all these things. And he was troubled. And Jesus opened up to him.
Yeah.
How you need to be born again. And that was even confusing. But do you know, I believe that when Nicodemus left, I believe he was a different man.
Yeah.
I believe he understood some things. He got a hold of something. That's it. The same thing happens to us. We go to Jesus and we can get a hold of things.
Yes.
Oh, it's nice to have friends and it's nice to have counselors. But when it comes from Jesus, there's no doubt.
Amen.
And there's nothing the devil can do to challenge it. It springs up in you. It just comes in. It burns in your inner being. And you know this is the right way to go.
Yes.
And that is what's so wonderful. What Jesus can do. He's not here beside us. He's not standing here. He's not sitting here. We can't just go and sit down and talk to him like a man. But we have the presence of the Holy Ghost in us and Jesus and God the Father all the time.
Yes, thank you.
And we have such a powerful thing in us.
Yes.
And we think that we contain it. We think we own it.
Yeah.
It's Jesus in me. And I get to put my arms around the whole thing. And I get to direct and do what I want to do. And I'm going to, close this all in. But that isn't the way it works.
No.
Jesus in you is going to, as we heard in Sunday school this morning, it's going to spring out. It's going to come out. It can't be hidden. And you're going to find yourself in places where Nicodemus, where you're going to be thinking, wait a minute, this looks like it's wrong.
Yeah.
But there's people over here saying it's right. And I'm in a twixt. I don't know what to think. I don't know what's going on here. But Jesus, in us, the hope of glory, he's going to make it plain. He will take away those troubled thoughts and take over and help us.
Yes.
All right, chapter 5, verse 4. This is the story about the man at the pool where an angel went down and troubled the pool. We want to drop down to the 6th verse. Now this man was there and he had an infirmity 38 years and he's sitting inside the pool or laying there and he's trying, he can't get into the pool. And Jesus just walks up and asks a simple question. He says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the man is looking at him, and no doubt he's thinking, "Well, of course, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here." You know, sometimes we can be that way. God comes to us. He wants to make us whole. He wants to do something special for us. And it's like, well, I'm in service every week. I'm at Bible study, and I'm at prayer meeting, and I'm in service and everything, and I'm struggling, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. You know, what else? He says, do you just want to be whole?
Yeah.
Do you just want to be whole? Because, see, I have that kind of power.
Amen.
I have that kind of power to make you whole, to actually go in and make you a full of everything that you need.
Amen.
And this man went away rejoicing. He says, take up your bed and walk. And he went away rejoicing. Oh, he was so happy. And what did he do? First thing that happened to him, which is going to happen to us, we go away rejoicing. The first thing that happens, somebody says, what are you doing carrying your bed on the Sabbath? Why are you so happy? You know, what's going on with you? You know, how can you be so happy? This and this and this is still happening and all these things. But yet we're overflowing. The Lord has touched us. He's made us whole. He's done something special for us. And he says, I don't know what to tell you. But this man told me to take up my bed and walk. Well, what man is that? Well, I don't even know his name. And they even called the parents in. Well, what about this? Him taking his bed on the Sabbath. And they said, we don't know anything about this. All we know is that he was blind from birth, and now he sees. And that's all we know. You know, then Jesus found him later, it says, in the 14th verse, it says, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more.
Yes.
Lest the worst thing come upon thee. In other words, he was giving him his life's work.
Yeah.
Sin no more.
Yeah.
That is necessarily an easy thing. Because there's sin all around us. You know, sin in all the people we know. The devil's pushing sin. The world's pushing sin. Not an easy thing. But this man, he went to him. Now listen, is Jesus going to tell us to do something that's impossible?
No.
What can he do? He can cause a man that had never seen before to jump up and take his bed and walk.
Yeah.
He can take it. He can do that with him.
Yeah.
And you know what else he can do? He can bless him to be able to understand what it is that has just happened to me.
Yeah.
And that I have a different commission now in life. I am going in a different way, a different place is where I'm going. It says here that sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. So Jesus comes in and he helps us out of some of the worst things, the worst conditions on our bodies, conditions in our hearts, our minds. He is able to speak directly to it. He's able to do that. What can he do? What can he do for us? Chapter 8. Starting at the 6th verse. Here's a man, and he's been blind. In the 7th verse, I'm going to go to the 7th verse. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto him, he that is without sin among you. Oh, no, this is the woman taken in adultery. Yeah, verse 8, yeah. This is the woman taken in adultery. Okay, so here she is. They brought her before Jesus, greatly accused, facing death. Oh, you know, there's going to be times that we're greatly accused and facing death.
Yes.
We're facing death of a reputation and death of a job even. We're brought up before the people before in our jobs, and we're facing some kind of death. And we're being accused greatly, and they're telling all manner of stories. And we live in a world right now where there are so many stories going on about all men, everywhere, anywhere, particularly those in any kind of a powerful position. There's all kinds of stories. Greatly accused.
Yes.
But that didn't bother Jesus. It didn't bother him. He had a plan. Yeah. Do you know he can help you out of those places?
Yes.
He has a plan. He already has a plan worked out for these things. He already knows what's going to happen. He sees the future.
Yes.
He knew, no doubt, He knew those men were on their way before they even got there.
Right.
He knew. But you know what Jesus can do for us? He can make the most horrible things in our life melt away to nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what he did for her. She was facing death. They wanted to stone her. And they were trying to trap Jesus, and they wanted him to just say something against the law here. Just say something here. And we've got you. Because then you're preaching against the law we're supposed to be living under. We'll get you then. He understood them all together. And he didn't say anything to them.
No.
Do you know that sometimes the Lord just wants to handle it himself?
Yeah.
And you don't have to say anything.
That's right.
You do not have to say anything. God wants to handle it himself. So he bent down and he wrote on the ground. And then he told them, you know, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Just the one of you that doesn't have any sin, just cast the first one. We'll all join in. But there wasn't anybody like that. And no doubt, some of them were even guilty of some things that were probably offenses that they could have been stoned to, but just nobody knew about it.
That's right.
And you know what? Those angry men, those trying to work something to their favor, and catch Jesus and bring reproach upon him and go back and tell stories about him and lead him into a trap. Isn't it funny how that all of them just turned one by one and walked away? What can Jesus do? He can talk to those men's hearts that are full of all that kind of stuff, and he can stop it.
Amen.
He can stop it to where it cannot happen.
Right.
You ever had times like that? Where God came in and he just stopped it?
Uh-huh.
You wondered, how is this going to work? How is this going to turn out? How is the end? What's the end going to look like? Oh, and the devil paints all these pictures of what's going to happen. And Jesus just stops it.
Yeah.
And you don't even know what happened.
True.
That woman didn't know what happened. She's on the ground and she's got her head bowed. Who knows? She may have been weeping. We don't even know. We don't know. But we know this, that all of it was going over in her head and all of it was going there. And she was thinking, I'm going to die. She didn't even look up her head. She didn't even cry out for mercy.
Yeah.
And then he asked her, where are all your accusers?
Yes.
She looks around. There aren't any.
Yes.
There aren't any. Wait a minute. There aren't any.
Mm-hmm.
Where did all these men go? And he told her the same thing. Go and sin no more.
Yes.
Don't do that anymore.
Yes.
Oh, listen. God can do anything.
Yes.
He can bring sweetness out of bitter things.
Yes, he can.
It says that sweet and bitter water can't run out of the same faucet. It's true, because the bitter always overpowers the sweet.
Yeah.
Except when Jesus touches it.
Yeah.
And then the sweet can come right out of the bitter. We can be going through the most horrible thing, and it just be a bitter trial.
Yeah.
And he can make it sweet. You can come out just so sweet
That's
on
right.
the other side.
That's right.
That's what Jesus can do.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, so the 11th chapter. 11th chapter of John talks about Lazarus dying. Oh, his disciples, they get word that Lazarus is sick, and he says, we're going to tarry a couple of days. Oh, listen, do you know that those disciples kind of had some questions in their mind?
Oh, yeah.
He has some questions, you know. And he said, well, and then he finally told him, he has died.
Right.
Oh. You know, they didn't have phones in those days.
Right.
By the time a message got to you, It could be a couple of days old.
Yes.
Before you got it. But you know, Jesus, he can make the dead rise.
Yes, he can.
Did he do that for you? Dead in trespasses and sins, dead in all of your evil ways and your thoughts and your actions and all the things that you were involved in and all the things that you knew you shouldn't be involved in.
Right.
And some of the things you were involved in, you didn't even know that they were wrong. But what did Jesus do? He can raise the dead.
Yes, Lord.
Not just physically, but spiritually. He raises the dead.
Yes.
Says we were dead in trespasses and sins.
Yes.
What can Jesus do? He can make life out of death. Is that a wonderful thing?
Yes, it is.
He is, there is no greater thing to come to pass than life out of death. They're opposite. Completely cannot merge together. Death is always death and life is always life. But he can take those of us that have died to that old life, died to sin, died to all those things. He can give us new life. Oh, it's not a physical death. Although he can raise physically from the dead also.
Yes.
He's done it down through history.
Yes.
He's done it even in the present day. He has done it.
Yes.
God is all powerful.
Yes, he is.
We need to understand what God can do for us. Sometimes I feel like that we get so wrapped up in humanity and the earth and worldliness and everything that we're surrounded with, that we lose sight of what Jesus can do.
Yes.
Because we struggle with something, we feel like, okay, well, what's happening? Well, Jesus can do it. Just relax in his arms and let him work, and you work with him.
Yes.
You're going to have to work with him. He isn't going to do it by himself. You're going to have to work. You want something? You want to conquer something in your life? You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to fast. You're going to have to resist.
Yes.
You're going to have to, if you feel that you have fallen into it again, you're going to have to pick yourself back up.
Amen.
Get before the Lord and say, Lord, I didn't do very well and I need more help. And you're going to have to work. Do you know we're soldiers?
Yes.
We are not in the reserves.
True.
Where we sit around and we wait for some big battle or something and then we get called in. We're not in the reserves.
Amen.
We're an active soldier every day.
Amen.
And so when the enemy comes against us with all of his fiery darts and all the things he's trying to do, we're going to have to resist every day.
Right.
We're going to have to be a strong, good soldier.
That's right.
We can't just be weak. We can't feel like, oh, I've been marching all day. Can't I just get some rest? You ever felt like that? Oh, could I just get some rest? Could everybody just leave me alone and let me get alone? I wish it was that we would say, let me get alone with God. But that's not usually what we're thinking. We're thinking, let me get alone away from everybody. And many times we let the Lord be in that everybody. And we just want to take a little vacation. We just want to take a little respite. We want to sit down and say, oh, I've had it up to here, and I just want to sit here and do nothing. That is not a good thing. I'm just telling you, it's not a good thing. There won't be good that comes out of it. Because if you sit down while you're a soldier and while you're sitting down, the enemy's still working. He's still fighting. He's still throwing arrows. He's still sneaking up behind you. He's still laying traps. He's still throwing in every kind of bombardment that he can throw in. He's still being at, and you're the soldier. You're sitting down. And you're letting him have complete a free-for-all to not only attack you, but everybody around you.
Yeah.
And many times, he won't attack you. You know why? Because he likes you to sit there by yourself, get away from everybody, and even take a little break from God. He likes that. It won't be for you. It'll be all those around you. He'll be attacking. So when you finally shake yourself and say, what am I doing? And you stand back up and you say, okay, I'm ready to soldier. You're going to have all these fires and battles and things to put out because you took a little vacation. Where you could have kept up to date and been able to pray and pray and pray until those things didn't burst into flames. They were just a little smoke. And they were handled in the early stages. Oh, listen. God can raise the dead. When you're dead tired.
That's true.
He can raise you.
Amen.
When your mind just feels like it can't even work anymore. He can revive it.
Yes.
When your body is racked with pain and suffering and everything, you just feel like you can't take another step. God can give you what you need to take another step.
Yes.
That's who he is. This is what Jesus can do.
Amen.
And you remember in the 20th chapter, we're coming over here to Thomas's unbelief. And he said here, Thomas had said, well, they say that Jesus is risen. But unless I can put my finger in the nail prints in his hand and put my fist in his side, I'm not going to believe it. So when Jesus comes to them, he looks right at Thomas. Oh, do you know that God knows what you say?
Yes, he does.
See, he knows everything you're thinking. You don't even have to say it out loud. Many times in our salvation, we think if we don't say it out loud, we're not guilty. That's kind of the beginning of salvation. When you realize, I shouldn't say this, so I don't say it. But, oh, it's churning in my brain and in my heart and everything else. But I haven't said it, and I count that a great victory. And it is a great victory in the beginning.
Right.
But it's just the beginning.
Yes,
he wants to control that and keep you from saying it. But now he's going to go deeper and he's going to keep you from dwelling on it and thinking on it and wrestling with it. He's going to get you past there. But he looked right at Thomas. He knew exactly what he had been thinking.
Yeah.
And he said unto him in the 27th verse, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing.
Yeah.
It says, Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God.
Yes.
Have you ever done that before? Where you're just having a hard time believing. Something's going on. You're praying. You're maybe fasting. It just seems to keep growing and getting bigger and bigger. And you've got all these doubts and things floating around in your head. You're wondering, how's this going to work? How's it going to come about? And then Jesus comes. And he does something.
Yes.
Says something. Maybe just one sentence. And it so inspires your faith that all of a sudden you have all this faith that you didn't know you had. God is so good.
Yes.
He's so good to us. But he said to Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed.
Yes.
Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Yes. Now, isn't it a miracle that we have never seen Jesus, but we believe in him?
Right.
Yes. Isn't it a miracle that we didn't see him die on the cross for our sins, but we still believe he did?
Yes.
It's a miracle that that has been implanted in our minds. Do you realize that?
Yes.
There are millions of people out there that it has not been in their minds yet. It has not taken hold in their minds. They are still faithless and unbelieving. It's a miracle that God found us where he found us and spoke to us like he spoke to us and convinced us like he did that I am real. It is a miracle.
Yes.
Oh, sometimes we need to be thankful for the biggest miracle of all, that we have faith in Jesus.
Yeah,
that is a big miracle. Because when we first come to God, there's hardly no foundation for us to hardly believe in it. To believe in Him. He hasn't been... After we've been with the Lord for a while, He begins to show us this and that. And we begin to build. And we start building our faith. It starts increasing. But when we first come, do you realize what a miracle it is that God just instilled that faith in your mind that you could come and ask forgiveness for your sins and get up and be free?
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Many in the world call it a fairy tale. Because that's the kind, it's a miracle.
Right.
It's beyond our comprehension. But when we can't believe, when we're doubting, when we're having problems believing, God can touch that.
Yes, He can.
And He will touch it.
Yes.
There was another one. Okay, in fact, we'll go to that one. Mark, the 9th chapter. Mark 9. Mark 9 and verse 24. This was when they brought the child to the disciples and they couldn't heal him. And so he brought him to Jesus. And in the 23rd chapter, let's read the 23rd verse. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." You know, that is a very simple verse. But we probably need to write it down and keep it, you know, like on a refrigerator door. Because, you know, you're going to go in there several times a day.
Yeah.
You know, you might not notice it on the wall, but you're going to go in your refrigerator several times a day. It said, he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out. He was in distress.
Yes.
And he said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief."
Amen.
Do you know we can do that too? We can tell the Lord, "Lord, I do believe you. I do believe you. Help my unbelief. You see the doubts that are crowding in. You see where my mind is going. You see how the enemy's attacking me. You see how I'm pressed on every side trying to break down my faith. But I do believe in you, Lord." Of course we all believe in him. That's why we're saved.
Yeah.
We believe. But sometimes it's hard for us to believe what he can do.
Yes, Lord, help us.
See, what can Jesus do? He can do anything you need.
Yes, that's right.
Whatever it is, he can do it. He can bring it to pass.
Amen.
He can speak it into existence right there as you pray.
Right.
Or he can cause you to get up and begin to fight a fight against the enemy till you win a victory, and you can get it that way.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a combination of the two. He can do any of it. There have been people that have come to the Lord and had habits. And they got up from the altar and the habit was gone. There have been others that have struggled afterwards. They had to fight it. They had to work at it. There were times that they gave in and then they'd be back on their knees and they would keep fighting. Listen, not all battles are won the first time. If you don't know that yet, you'll know it soon. Not all battles are won the first time. Some battles you have to fight over and over. All soldiers that are in the army, they're taught that we're going to keep at this until we win. There are stories in history where they said, "We're not stopping till we take this position."
That's right.
And if it takes every one of our soldiers, no matter what it takes, if it down to the last man, we are going to stand on top of this hill.
Yes. That's right.
We have to have that.
Yes.
Do you know that God even gives you that?
Yes.
Your any determination you have is God-given. Jesus gave it to you. He helped you. Because we all know we weren't that strong. We all know we were weak. We were led around and did all kinds of things because other people pressured us and we didn't even want to. We all know that. This is who we were. But what are we now? Now, for some reason, I can stand up and say no, even though I'm shaken and even though it doesn't look like it and even this and that and even though I struggle with it still or whatever, I keep coming back, Lord.
Right.
I'm not giving up.
Amen.
I'm not giving up until I have this.
Amen.
It's going to take that kind of determination in our lives to win these battles.
Yes.
It's going to take that. Okay. In Mark, the other story I have in Mark is the fourth chapter. I want to talk about the disciples a little bit here and how that they were discussing among themselves who was going to be the greatest. They were discussing it. Is this the place? No, this isn't the place. Yes, it is. No, it's in the ninth chapter. I'm sorry. Ninth and 33. The 33rd verse. And it said, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them. So here they had been disputing about this and thinking about this and talking about, you know, who was going to be greatest or whatever they were doing. And Jesus didn't say anything to him. And no doubt they were doing it out of his hearing. But he said, the Son of Man. And 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves, by the way? In other words, I saw you over there talking. What were you talking about? Innocent question. You ever ask one of those innocent questions? And then got in a heap of trouble because really you didn't want to know what all they were talking about, and now you've got to contend with it too. You know, sometimes it's better not to be curious. But Jesus wasn't being curious here. He was trying to get a hold of them and teach them a lesson. They held their peace. Yeah, I would think so. You ever had the Lord say something in your ear and you realized, ooh, oops, I don't have anything to say about that. You know, I did it, but I can't say anything about it. And they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first. They didn't even tell him what they had been talking about. If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all. And servant of all. Dear ones, do you know that Jesus can override and help us and deliver us from our pride, from our lack of humility, from our feeling like that we always are the one that's right? Do you know there are a lot of people in the world, most people in fact, that feel like they're right, their ideas are right, their thoughts are right, everybody should handle it like I do because it's right. But do you know that Jesus can help you when you have that? He can help you to know how to humble and to come out of that place where you felt like you were always right. That's what Jesus can do. You know, there are some that In a family, there will be some that will say, oh, so-and-so, he's always right. And everybody in the family will say it. But that one that says he's always right, he's going, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't feel that way. I don't think I'm always right. But you know what? When God gets a hold of you, and he starts revealing who you really are, What's really working in you? The things that you didn't even know about, that you didn't have any understanding on. And he starts, you will at that time, you will begin to say, Lord, I've always thought I was right. He'll get you to say the very thing that all your family or your parents or your grandmother said about you all the time. They couldn't get you to agree to it, but Jesus will get you to agree. I remember when I was first married and my husband used the word lazy with me. I hated that word. And he would say it fairly often. Oh, I got to where I so hated that word. But do you know there came a time when Jesus got a hold of me. And he talked to me. And I said to the Lord, Lord, you're right. I'm lazy. I said that horrible word I hated. I admitted it. Jesus does that for us. He lets us know what we really have on hand when we're doing everything we can to say, no, not me, not me. It's not me. That's not me. Jesus convinces us what is really there. Isn't that wonderful? What Jesus can do for us? It is so wonderful. In the fourth chapter, and I have lots of scriptures here. We're going to go to the fourth chapter in Mark, though. We're going to go to the 41. And this is when Jesus calms the storm. And when he said he was asleep in the ship, and they came to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care about me? You know, sometimes storms can get really rough. Things can happen in our lives, the storms of life, and we can actually begin to have the thought in our mind, Lord, why me? You know, don't you care that, you know, it doesn't seem like others. You ever had any of those kind of beginnings of sentences in your life? And what does Jesus do? He proves to us that he cares. He understands. He knows where we're coming from. Because we grew up in a world that didn't care. And no matter how much even our parents loved us, without God's love, they didn't have enough. They didn't love us enough. Everybody kind of let us down. You know, from the time we were children, different ones let us down. Friends, family, sometimes parents, they let us down. But Jesus isn't like that. And when they came to him and said, don't you care? It was like, I will show you how much I care. And he went out and he just called the storm. Just said, peace. Be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. You ever had that where you're feeling like, oh, this is never going to end. And it's just kept going on. And I'm never going to get out of this situation. And I'm starting to have these beginning of sentences that said, Lord, why? And why aren't you hearing me? And why aren't you answering? And why this and why that? And I'm beginning to have all these things. And then the Lord comes in one day. And it's peace. Do you know sometimes we don't remember those? Do you know that? That sometimes we forget very easily. As soon as we're out of the storm, we forget pretty quickly. Because the disciples had been with Jesus and had gone through a lot already, but they forgot him in the storm. They forgot what he could do in the storm. But then they said, he says, what kind of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him. What kind of a man is this? This is beyond our comprehension. And Jesus was revealing to him, yes, I am not a man like you. I am not like you. But you can be like me. See, you can be like me. That's Jesus' message in the scriptures. You can be like me. I am not like you. I keep my promises. And I don't hold bitterness in my heart. And I forgive easily. And all the things that we have trouble with.
Yes.
Jesus doesn't get irritated with us. He doesn't. All the things. We get irritated. He doesn't get careless. We get careless. All the things that we do and are part of. Jesus says, no, I'm not like you.
Thank the Lord.
But you can be like me.
Yeah.
That's what he can do for us.
Yeah.
He can cause us to be like him. And all of the scriptures, there are too many scriptures to even mention. I only got through maybe half that I even had written down. The point being, what can Jesus do? Everything you need.
That's right.
Everything. From the smallest thing. How many times do we get and we hear, oh, he helped me find my keys. And I lost my bank card. And where did I find it? Right inside my door, inside my house. It was safe all day, and I was worried all day. I was worried all day, and Jesus already had it. But I was worried all day. You see what I'm saying? We need to learn how to cast these things on the Lord at the beginning, because he knows everything. He knows exactly what we need. And he can do anything for us.
Yes.
From the smallest little thing to the biggest.
That's right.
He can do it all.
Thank you.
He is not like us. He's not limited. All of his ways are past finding out. You are not going to know. You are going to not even know a drop in the bucket of what Jesus is when you leave this earth. He is so much more than that. So much more.
Yeah.
And we could have had so much more if we would have believed and acted on our belief and faith and had greater faith in him. We could have had more. And when we get to heaven, we're going to know we could have had it. We're going to know we could have had more. We may not know everything now, but over there, all is going to be revealed.
Yes.
All is going to be opened up. And we're going to know. Here, there's some things that are covered. And there's some things that God doesn't even want you to know about. Because you know why? They're too high for you. You couldn't understand them in your present form. In this human body, operating under this human brain, you are unable to comprehend. Because you're created. You are not the creator. Jesus can do anything.
Yeah.
Amen.